Here we go, 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 here we go.
Please not start the podcast like this. Please.
Welcome to Triple Captain. I'm very excited. I'm Luke Jurdy. I'm an actor currently on Hollyoaks with an unhealthy obsession with FPL. I finished in the top 10K last year.
Yes, and my name's Rich Wolfenden. I'm a commentator for TalkSport covering the Bundesliga and the Premier League. I managed to scrape into the top 2 million of the fantasy football world last season, but I do know some things about football, so hopefully I can bring something to the table in terms of this podcast.
You certainly will, especially with the stat packs that you get sent from TalkSport, the yes. Heavily detailed yeah. statistics ahead of a game that you commentate
exactly
on, is that right?
40-page documents.
Wow.
Stats, facts, little stories about players, managers, referees, that sort of thing, all comes through, and hopefully I can deliver some of that knowledge here.
As an FPL player, that turns me on. So we're so happy and excited to be joining the FPL community of podcasts. Like, there's so many out there already. I know I'm really friendly with the boys from FPL Surgery. I'm on their Slack channel and I've been on their pod a few times. They're brilliant.
Did they finish ahead of you?
The Iceman did. Okay. He's known as the Iceman.
I'm trying to think if we can get people to listen to us because you finished ahead
well,
of them in the
I definitely
table.
Finished ahead of Bully, which is his co-host.
Okay.
So.
But they all finished ahead of me.
Pretty much all finished ahead of okay. you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. But none of them are TalkSport commentators.
Okay, yeah, I'll take that.
So,
suck on that, all the
so yeah, we're really excited about that. And we want to make this as inclusive as possible, don't we, Rich?
Exactly. So we're going to be asking you, the listener, for voice notes with questions each week over who you should select for your team or any question really that you've got about fantasy football. Send them to us. triplecaptain@soundrebel.co.uk is the email you want if you want to send a few across, and we're going to be playing a few of those that we've had sent in already on today's podcast.
Yeah, so just to give you a brief overview of what we're going to be doing now, these are three separate pre-season pods. The first one is discussing goalkeeper and defense, second one will be midfield, and the third will be attack. And they are all designed to help you climb your mini league, to start your season off well, to pick the right players, to give you all the lowdown on the new transfers and who's going to be the best players for your team.
Yeah, we've already made a couple of drafts over our first 11s for the first weekend of the season. So I think we'll talk about that a little bit. And no doubt you'll slate mine.
And definitely slate producer Ben's. What did we call him before?
Background Ben.
Yeah.
Only says a few words.
Yeah, I mean, Background Ben, I think, had three Villa players in his, in his first draft.
Oh, Villa?
Yeah, he's a Villa fan. So,
yeah. Biased.
We might be talking about, you know, not taking your biased
yeah.
football.
Everyone wants Alan Hutton. Great name for a podcast.
Let's get right in there straight away. Goalkeepers and defenders. Rich, who have you got in between the sticks?
So for me, it was purely based on how brilliant they were last season. I've gone for Alisson. He was the top point scorer for a goalkeeper last season. Most clean sheets. I think he was one of five goalkeepers to get 20 or more clean sheets in the history of the Premier League. So I can't think of anybody else to put in goal, really. You could take a gamble on a new goalkeeper coming into the Premier League. I mean, we've seen last season Fabianski got quite a lot of points basically because he was target practice for strikers in the Premier League and made a lot of saves, whereas Alisson had the defence in front of him helping him out. And I just think you can't go wrong with Alisson, especially first weekend where they're playing Norwich at Anfield. So
yeah,
who have you gone with?
I think in terms of the amount of people that have picked, Alisson's the most popular goalkeeper pick as it stands. He's selected by 32.5% of players. Yeah, which is high.
Wow.
And it is interesting because obviously you can only have three Liverpool players, and if you're using Alisson as your goalkeeper, then that means you've only got two slots left. Mm. Now, for me, I'm 90% sure I won't be picking Alisson as goalkeeper.
Okay.
At the moment, I'm on Ederson.
Right.
But that could change to, you know, 2-4.5 million goalkeepers, possibly Burnley. Once we know who's starting in between the sticks for Burnley,
yeah,
I could perhaps put a Burnley goalkeeper in as my 4.5 and then another 4.5 or even maybe a 4 million option that will just sit on the bench and won't play.
Yeah.
Because it gives you an extra 1.5 million to play with.
Well, Burnley have got so many goalkeepers. They've got Hart, Heaton, Pope, And they're rumoured to be bringing in Butland as well, isn't it, I think? So
something like that.
Four England goalkeepers as well, bizarrely, who were famously brilliant. So I don't know, who do you reckon they'd start out of them? Do you think they just continue with Heaton? He was the one they usually go for.
Heaton was the favourite last year, last season, wasn't he? I mean, Joe Hart started in goal, but that was because of injuries.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think we've just got to keep an eye on pre-season and see who they've been playing. And once that becomes clearer, there might be a good option there.
Yeah.
Because towards the back end of the season as well, Dyche got them together again.
Yeah.
And defensively, they were pretty solid again, weren't they? And went back to like their old. So if they can start the season like that and you can get a bargain goalkeeper in there, it gives you that extra money to spend on the rest of your team.
But you're talking about not selecting Alisson because he was taking up one of your Liverpool players. Doesn't Ederson do exactly that, but with City players? Because this season, it's purely going to be Liverpool and Manchester City again, going for the title. Let's be honest.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
Yes, he does, but I don't think there's as good options in City's defence. So really for me, it's between Laporte and Zinchenko, if Zinchenko is going to be a regular starter, because Mendy said that he's not going to be playing until September.
Right.
So it'd be an interesting... And Zinchenko's only 5.5 million, whereas Liverpool have Robertson, TAA... Yeah. And Van Dijk, and you know, Gomez, Matip, Lovren, like all possible options. Yeah. So I think if you're taking away your, I think Edison's going to get around about the same points as Alisson.
Yeah.
So it's much of a muchness.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about those Liverpool defenders, before last season, there was only two defenders in the history of the Premier League who got 13 or more assists, Baines and Hinchcliffe for Everton. And then one season, Alexander-Arnold and Robertson matched that record in just one season, a pair of them. So they definitely score more points than Manchester City. 100% right there.
the value is there to be seen in defence, isn't it? I mean, the amount of points that they got for their price is incredible, really.
Yeah. So just to reiterate, you've got Ederson, I've got Alisson.
At the moment, I've got Ederson, yeah, okay. And you've got Alisson. Yeah, let's talk budget goalkeepers if you're not going for a premium. Obviously... At the moment, I mean, if I pick Ederson, I'm just going to pick a 4 million bench fodder who's never going to play purely for the price. So it really doesn't matter to me who that is. But if I go for budget-wise, what are you thinking, Rich, if you went down a different route?
I'm just going for the Norwich goalkeeper, McGovern, just because he's, like you said, 4 million, bargain basement price. He may not even start for Norwich, but on the off chance, he could. I don't know enough about Norris to say who starts for them, but he's going to be my choice, and it's a pure uneducated guess. There is other goalkeepers down there, like Stecklenburg, who's probably not going to get a kick for Everton.
I think we can safely say all the keepers priced at 4 million won't be playing.
Would you splash out an extra $500,000 for someone like Ryan?
Not to sit on my bench if I've got Ederson, but if I go down a different route and say, I mean, last season I went with two 4.5 million goalkeepers throughout the season. I rotated them, which worked quite nicely and also gives a little bit of excitement of who you're going to pick. And if you know, you're 4.5 million Fabianski, who's now 5 million, so perhaps not as tasty. Yeah. If your 4.5 million keeper gets a clean sheet and a few bonus points, you're laughing. You're like, what a great week. Whereas Alisson, Ederson, you know, the premiums are a lot safer.
Yeah.
So it kind of depends where you want to spend that money. Because if you pick two 4.5 million, that's an extra, you know, million to spend on the rest of your team.
Yeah, exactly. And you could strike lucky and find a goalkeeper who is this season's Fabianski.
Well,
and
his value just goes up. Look at Etheridge last season as well.
Exactly.
He started phenomenally.
Yeah.
If you had him in your team, few penalty saves. You know, with the promoted clubs as well, they might concede more penalties. You know, nerves get the better of them. If you know their goalkeeper saves a pen, suddenly you're in, your quid's in.
Yeah, but, I mean, for £4.5 million goalkeepers this season, there's some out there who you think absolutely I would never pay £4.5 million for them. You got Eastwood at Sheffield United, but then you've got like Matty Ryan at Brighton. You got Ruddy at Wolves as well. Hennessy at Crystal Palace, like regularly starting goalkeepers.
Ruddy won't play. Patricio's the starting goalkeeper.
Oh, yeah, of course. Well,
but
Hennessy,
yes,
and that sort of thing.
Good point. And Gaeta's probably the starting player for Palace.
You got Firmin coming over from... He was a Schalke goalkeeper last season.
Okay.
And now he's just signed for Norwich. So
he could be a good option.
Yeah, a bit of a gamble because, you know, he's coming over and he's in his latter years as a goalkeeper, but who knows?
I'm just looking at Brighton's fixtures with Matt Ryan. They've got Watford away to start with, then they've got West Ham at home, Southampton at home, City away, Burnley at home, Newcastle away. Not a bad opening six apart from City. So could you rotate Ryan with, say, The Burnley keeper, Heaton, perhaps, if he's gonna start.
Could do Begovic, Bournemouth as well. He's been selected by 3.5%, and which is the most out of anyone at 4.5 million, apart from Heaton. So he could be another one thrown in there, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's not great options, is there?
No.
I mean, I think there were better options last year. I think the options that, you know, like Fabianski, Dubravka, Foster at Watford, they've all gone up to 5 million. Patricio's gone up to 5 million. Schmeichel's 5 million. Pickford's 5.5.
Yeah.
There's not great options at four and a half.
I think our indecisiveness here is just saying, get Edison or Alisson.
Yeah.
So let's move on to defenders. How many defenders are you looking to start to begin with? Are you going to go for back three, back four, back five?
So there was a great article about this on Fantasy Football Scout where they went through the different formations over the seasons, which have been the most successful. Mm. And 3-5-2 has been the best formation for the last three seasons,
right,
with 4-5-1 and 4-4-2 very close. Behind.
4-5-1, really?
Yeah. There wasn't much in it, but what was interesting is that none of the formations with three strikers were the best. And I've traditionally always started with three strikers, like a 3-4-3.
Yeah.
And the best result over the seasons has always been to get the highest scoring defenders, no matter what the cost, because they provide such good value.
Yeah.
Just as we were talking about earlier, look at the top three defenders last season, Robertson, Van Dijk, Alexander-Arnold. They all scored, I think they all scored over 200 points. Yeah, Alexander-Arnold was just below, but Robertson and Van Dijk scored over 200 points. And that's phenomenal for a defender.
All goal scoring, all assisting as well. Well, maybe not as much Van Dijk, but still.
Yeah, so to answer your question, at the moment I'm going for three at the back.
Right, okay.
And that gives me three big hitters.
Okay, and who are your big hitters?
So my three at the back at the moment are Alexander-Arnold, Van Dijk and Luka Dean.
Good choices. They certainly are big hitters. Very similar to mine.
Okay.
Alexander-Arnold, Luka Dean, and then what was your other one, Van Dijk? I've gone for James Justin of Leicester.
Okay.
So I put in this guy.
I know you're playing three at the back. Sorry.
And I'm playing three at the back as well, yeah. I'm taking a gamble on this guy because he almost single-handedly got Luton promoted to the Championship. So him and the other fullback for Luton, Stacey, they've moved from Luton to Leicester, which Justin's gone to, and Stacey's gone to Bournemouth. And I think the pair of them had more assists or more open play crosses than Alexander-Arnold and Robertson at Liverpool. They had the most assists or attempted crosses in Europe out of any of the top countries' major leagues.
We are talking about Luton, though.
We are talking about Luton. But you got to remember, Luton only got promoted from League Two the season before. So they've come from that division and then smashed it in League One. So why can't they smash it in the Premier League? All right, it's a different level. But like I said, it's a bit of a gamble.
Do you think he'll start? I mean, cheaper. They've got Pereira, Chilwell on the flanks. How is he going to get in ahead of those two?
In my head, they don't have many wide players attacking Leicester. So I think next season, Ricardo Pereira is going to be pushed further forward. So I think that'll open the space for Justin to come in and sit in that gap. I could be completely wrong. I haven't seen any of Leicester's pre-season as of yet. But you know, there's plenty of time before the season to change that. I might well do that. Bench fillers, but an El Mohammadi, Villa player for producer Ben, background Ben.
A bench filler.
I think El Mohammadi, whenever, because he's one of them players, isn't he? He's gone to the Premier League, not really, cut the mustard there. Goes down to the Championship, brilliant. Goes back up to the Premier League, doesn't cut the mustard again. And he could well do that again this season. So that's why he's on the bench for now. And I've also gone for Stearman just because you need a cheap defender.
You should definitely have a rethink on the Justin Leicester player.
Okay.
Keep an eye on pre-season.
Yeah.
Definitely one to watch, though. He's certainly going on my watch list, but I think it'd be far too much of a risk to put him in straight away.
Right.
You've got to assess who Rodgers is going to play, and I want you to do well next season. So I think you should play it a little bit safer than him to start with.
Okay. What are we aiming for me this season? Where do you want me to get? Top 1 million?
No, I think let's aim for top 100,000.
Top 100,000?
Absolutely. If we're doing this every week, you're going to be thinking about it more. Yeah. I think you can definitely achieve that.
Okay, yeah, I'll go for that.
Definitely.
I'll go for that.
Let's just talk quickly about, because we've both picked Alexander-Arnold over Robertson.
Yeah.
What are your reasons for that?
Set pieces.
Okay.
Set pieces, because he also they both deliver unbelievable crosses, but Alexander-Arnold is just a bit more whipped and pacey, and it works so much better on deep free kicks, on corners, and he's the man who in the danger area can hit a free kick on target and score from it as well, whereas Robertson doesn't take any set pieces of, as far as I'm aware, and that is a massive, massive bonus, especially this season with VAR coming into play and everything. So, you know, he could score even more points than he did last season, Alexander-Arnold.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he just pips Robertson to the post because of set pieces. I mean, I suppose the only worry with Alexander-Arnold is that he may get rotated as he did last season a few times. Mm. I can't see it, as he's been so fantastic.
Yeah.
And
I mean, they have Gomez, don't they, who they bring in. And he's nowhere near the quality of Alexander-Arnold.
No, not especially not with attacking threat.
No, he's more of a centre-back being thrown in at right-back just for certain games.
Mm. And it could give us even more of an advantage because Robertson will probably be more highly owned than Alexander-Arnold to start the season. I mean, looking at the stats at the moment, Robertson's owned by 36.3% and Alexander-Arnold's 28.8%.
Really?
So not much in it, but... Yeah. Robbo's the higher picks, he got more points. And you've got to think about the casual players that just go, well, Robertson got the most points last season, I'm going to put him in. But I agree with you, I think TAA just pips him.
How did Robertson get more points last season then? Because they both got the same amount of assists. Alexander-Arnold surely scored more goals.
Alexander-Arnold played less games.
Ah, right, okay.
For a start.
So Robertson got more clean sheets then? Just because he played more games?
I think so. And Robertson had a fantastic start to the season.
Yeah.
Whereas towards the end, second half, Alexander-Arnold was better than him.
Okay.
So you've gone... So just to recap, you've gone from Liverpool, Alisson and TAA.
Yes.
And I've gone TAA and Van Dijk.
Yes.
Van Dijk is currently selected by 42.9%. That is,
I mean, he's the best defender in the world.
He's the most popular. He's best defender in the world. He's got that goal threat. Liverpool will keep clean sheets. He's got good potential for bonus. I think if you're going to go double Liverpool, it's got to be, you know, Robertson, Alexander-Arnold or Van Dijk. A combination of those.
Yeah. I think either way, you've got to have two Liverpool players in your defensive quadrants.
Yeah.
But yeah, just to reiterate, going three at the back for me, and you're doing the same.
Yes. And have you got, you've got Luca Dean as well.
Yeah.
So just quickly on him, I wasn't sure about Luca Dean, and I was looking at him and between him and Coleman. Mm. And Coleman's 0.5 cheaper. And over the course of the season, he offered slightly better points per match.
Right. Seamus Coleman did.
Yes. He scored 1 point more than Dean from game weeks 21 to 38.
Right.
And he had a greater goal threat and a better quality of chances created.
Okay.
Luca Dean attempts more crosses and attempts more shots.
Also takes set pieces.
Now, so I thought, well, maybe Coleman's the better option. However, Luca Dean's attacking numbers were the best in history for a defender last season. He had 71 chances created, which is huge.
Yeah.
Again, I'm taking all these stats from Fantasy Football Scout.
Yeah.
And so he is certainly, I think, the safer option over Coleman if you can spend that extra 0.5 million. And Everton's opening 10 fixtures, as you well know as an Everton fan, are really good.
Yeah.
They've got Palace, Watford, Villa, Wolves, Bournemouth, Southampton, City, Burnley, West Ham, Brighton. So it's only City out of those 10. They could get off to a flyer. And
absolutely.
I think Dean, if he carries on with those numbers, it's just like the safest pick you can make.
All we need now is a goal scorer to put in his crosses.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
That's it. So looking at Manchester United's defenders, you're a Manchester United fan.
Mm-hmm.
Would you potentially pick any going forward? We know we've already discussed who you've got in your first draft. Would you pick maybe Wan-Bissaka in his first season? He had a great season last season.
So I looked at Wan-Bissaka. He's 32.6% owned at the moment. I mean, there's a lot of United fans that play
it,
FPL.
Yeah.
And that's completely it. And I looked at his stats. I mean, he got an assist in the recent preseason friendly against Leeds. And I think Solskjaer has spoken about that he wants the fullbacks to attack more.
Mm.
But United lack creativity down the right flank. So with Shaw and Martial or, you know, whoever on the left, the majority of the chances last season came from that flank. So creativity-wise, unless we bring in... I mean, we've got James, who looks good, but unless we bring someone in that's, you know, class on the right,
yeah,
I think Wan-Bissaka's been brought in for defensive reasons.
Yeah.
And you 100%. Look at Ashley Young, who played there last season, who is terrible. I'm sorry, he is a terrible defender. Yeah. He got terrorised time and time again last year. Wan-Bissaka's defensive stats, he made the most tackles, I think, in the Premier League last season, something like
yeah.
that.
He's most one-on-one stoppages or something like that,
yes.
it was, yeah.
He's got great... I think he's been brought in for defensive reasons yeah, rather than attacking.
To solidify that defence rather than just to open it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, 100%. He had no goal threat. It was 350 minutes per shot that he took last season. Whereas Patrick Van Aanholt has the best, which is 71 minutes per shot. So he's on my watch list.
Yeah.
So I think
he's done it quite consistently as well, Van Aanholt.
Yeah.
He usually scores quite a lot of points in a pretty poor team, to be honest. It's mostly Zaha and then Milivojevic and then Van Aanholt getting the points
yeah.
for Palace. So he's definitely one to keep on your watch list for sure.
The good thing about Wan-Bissaka is that he scored very highly on the BPS system, so he got 18 bonus points last season. So chances are, if United keep a clean sheet, he's going to be up there for the bonus points.
Mm.
But that was all well and good when he was 4 million last season. He's now 5.5.
Yeah.
I'm not going anywhere near him to start with. I'm just going to wait and see.
Mm. Okay. One that's like jumps out at me is Alonso at Chelsea. And last season, Chelsea were... Well, I'm all right. They won the UEFA Cup. UEFA Cup, Jesus. Europa League. Jump forward to 2019. But he had a pretty poor season, but he's still the third most expensive defender on it. And it's like, would you pay 6.5 million for Alonso when you could pay just $500,000 more for either Alexander-Arnold or Andy Robertson? Would anybody do that? Well, 4.1% have so far.
It would be a gamble, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, massive gamble.
They've just got Lampard in, so we need to keep an eye on their pre-season, how he's going to shape up.
Mm.
In terms of points, Alonso was the sixth highest scoring defender last season. So he still did okay.
Mm.
There's every chance he could rediscover his goal scoring form, and he had lots of chances last season.
Yeah, yeah.
So I certainly wouldn't rule him out, but he won't be going in my team from the start.
No.
Do you feel the same?
Yeah, I feel the same. I mean, there's certain teams this season which I'm just probably going to avoid, and weirdly, Manchester United and Chelsea are going to be two of them teams. I don't think I'm going to put any players from either of those teams. I'm also going to be avoiding Newcastle for obvious reasons. But yeah, I never thought on the opening week I'd have no Manchester United players and no Chelsea players in the lineup.
Chelsea's fixtures are very good, just to throw a cat amongst the pigeons.
Okay.
Apart from United first game away, which they could easily win, they've got Leicester at home, Norwich away, Sheffield United at home, Wolves away. Then they've got Liverpool at home, but then it's Brighton, Southampton, Newcastle, Burnley. And none of their players are over 7.5 million, I don't think.
Well, I don't think they've got any real attacking flair. They've brought in that Pulisic.
Yeah, no one's over 7.5.
But I can't really see them going any further this season. I think they'll have what Solskjaer did at United, where they have the honeymoon period and do really well. And they'll probably do that. Coincidentally, it's quite some easy fixtures. So, you know, they could be within the title race for the first 10 games of the season or something like that. But
so do we jump on that train, or do you think it's too risky to start with?
I think because of the price they are, the defenders anyway, that's a huge, huge gamble when you can just pay a little bit more for Liverpool defenders when you know they're going to absolutely smash it out of the park points-wise.
What about Kepa at 5.5 million? Save 0.5 on Alisson and Edison?
Well, we know he's not going to substitute himself off. So he's going to play most games, isn't he? I don't know. He's one of them, isn't he? He's a young goalkeeper. He's a bit of a flapper. Whereas Alisson and Edison just look so solid compared to him.
Yeah. It's a risk at the moment with Chelsea,
yeah,
isn't it?
It is, yeah. I'm steering clear, even though they do have that easier running at the beginning of the season.
And what about budget defenders? Let's talk budget quickly.
Okay.
At the moment, I've got Lascelles on my bench.
All right, okay.
So he's 4.5 million. I think he's got good goal threat. He's a bit of a talisman for Newcastle, isn't he, at the back?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. He's been linked with moves to teams like Leicester and Everton, who are more consistently in the Premier League anyway.
Although I think Newcastle will probably go down. I mean, they've hired Steve Bruce. Let's just be clear.
Yeah.
They've hired Steve Bruce.
They got from Rafa Benitez, Champions
Rafa.
League.
But Lascelles could be a good option at 4.5 million to sit on the bench.
True.
Any others?
There is defenders who would be coming up. And we saw last season, Duffy was actually quite a high scoring defender for Brighton. There could be another defender like that coming up from the Championship who could score quite a lot of points. Chester, maybe, for Villa?
No.
Something like that? No?
No.
Background men saying no.
Yeah, he won't get in the team now. We've gone and bought about six defenders.
What about Tyrone Mings?
Tyrone Mings is an absolute legend. And everyone needs him.
Stamps on players' heads, doesn't he?
No. How much is Tyrone Mings?
Tyrone is basically Virgil. Like, in terms of the style of defender... Okay. Tyrone Mings is the new Virgil van Dijk.
Wow.
Let's see at the end of the season how many points Van Dijk has compared to Tyrone Mings, the man who stamps on people's heads.
If I'm right, your defensive record wasn't great last season, was it, Villa, in terms of goals conceded?
No, not brilliant.
No, so I am steering clear.
Yeah, but we didn't, from the first half of the season, we didn't have Tyrone. We had people like James Chester at the back. We had Adam Hutton.
Yeah.
Whereas now we've gone in and we bought in a load of, about six defenders over the summer. So I think we'll see a lot of switching around with Villa. That's the only thing.
Right. Okay. I mean, they're all 4.5 million.
Yeah.
And they've got good fixtures to start with. I mean, definitely steering clear. I don't tend to put any newly promoted players in my team to start with.
Yeah.
I'd much rather wait and see and then put them in because they're not going to be highly owned anyway.
True.
I tend to play the start of the season quite safe.
Yeah.
And so.
They'll do it again at the start of the season. That sort of approach. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I get that.
I'm not going near Villa.
Weirdly, I was just looking at the cheapest defenders. For 4 million, 23.9% have selected Kelly from Crystal Palace.
Yes, yeah. And he's on my bench at the moment just because he's 4 mil and he gets the odd game.
Yeah, and he gets the odd assist. And I think he's got like a long throw. So maybe he can get an assist for a long throw.
I don't think he'll play, but Wan-Bissaka's gone. So who knows?
So there's a gap in the team, isn't there?
Also, Max Kilman, who is 4 million at Wolves, is one to watch.
Max Kilman, what a name.
Nuno Espirito Santo had quite positive things to say about him recently, including that he will get a chance this season.
Okay.
So he's one to put on your watch list.
Yeah, definitely. And Stacey at Bournemouth, he's the other Luton defender. He's only 4.5 million. I'm obsessed with these Luton defenders, aren't I?
Ender Stevens at Sheffield United. He got 4 goals and 6 assists last season.
Pretty good goal.
But he's 5 million. And apparently Jack O'Connell and Basham, who are centre-backs.
Basham's the perfect name for a defender.
Basham is... They've got licence to get forward in the formation that Sheffield United play. So they might be worth watching as well. But again, in terms of budget defenders this year... There isn't many great options, you know.
No. I think it's just pick one and stick them on the bench for your season and just see how it goes.
Reset. Yeah, so to round up, got to get those premium defenders in,
yeah,
I think.
Absolutely.
That's key. That's been proven over the last 3-4 seasons. A lot of your points are going to come from premium defenders at the back.
Mm.
Get 2 Liverpool in there. Look at a City option.
Yeah.
Luca Dean, in my opinion, should be in everybody's team at the start of the season.
Yeah. You just want those defenders who ping balls into the penalty area, or those defenders who are going up and winning every header on every corner, whether it's a defensive one or an attacking one, and a goalkeeper who will stop pretty much anything that is fired at them. So definitely Alisson or Edison for your goalkeeper.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that at the moment, purely because the budget keepers aren't great options at the moment. Mm. If it becomes clear who Burnley are going to start, I will seriously consider doing that again with a 4.5 just because it gives me that extra money to spend. But yeah, make sure the defenders that you pick have got attacking threat as well as clean sheet potential. And obviously the best options are going to come from Man City, Liverpool. We briefly touched on Chelsea because of their fixtures, so keep an eye on them. Yeah, and Luca Dean.
And Luca Dean. So what we're doing on this podcast is we're asking you to send in voice notes for questions and queries that you may have every week about your fantasy team. And if you want some advice, which will hopefully be good advice from the pair of us over what you should do, please send us your voice notes, triplecaptain@soundrebel.co.uk. Drop us an email there. So as far as I'm aware, we've already got 1 or 2 sent in. I don't know how background Ben has managed to get a hold of these, presumably called in a favour or two. But yeah, should we ever listen to the first one?
Let's have a listen.
Hi, Luke. Hi, Rich. My name is James. I'm in Brighton. And my question is it smarter to have a greater focus on scoring goals or keeping clean sheets?
Cool. Thanks, James.
In Brighton.
in Brighton. So do you put a greater emphasis on keeping clean sheets or scoring goals?
It's got to be scoring goals, surely. And that's who's playing for the nil-nils in the Premier League? You want 5-4, no one gets excited at the nil-nils in the Premier League, do they, at all? You just got to have the goal scorers in there. All right, you pick your defenders, maybe, over who's going to get clean sheets, but primarily you're looking at defenders, or we are anyway, because they're on set pieces, because, you know, they're taking penalties and getting assists and that sort of thing. So yeah. It's got to be about scoring goals. It's a stupid question, James from Brighton.
Sorry,
that is a stupid question. Yeah, we briefly covered it, didn't we, as well, saying that when you pick defenders, obviously you're looking at clean sheets, but also you want them to have that attacking threat. And there are defenders in the league that have attacking threat, which we've covered. You know, Van Dijk, he's a colossus at the back. He's going to keep clean sheets, but also he's going to pop up with a header. He's going to get assists. It was the same with Laporte for City as well, and big Vinny Company when he spanked in that goal, yeah. Which I won a fair bit of money on, actually.
Did you?
Yeah, I won 250 quid.
So did you celebrate?
I did.
It was a moment though, wasn't it?
Horrendously, I did celebrate, yeah, because I just won 250 quid.
So that's the first of our pre-season fixtures done, goalkeeper and defence. So thanks very much for listening to pre-season episode 1, goalkeepers and defenders. Up next, episode 2, midfielders.